Turn to Proverbs 6 and verse 3. Proverbs 6:3. It says, "Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend." So this is the most important verse in this section of verses, in from verses 1 to 5, talking about suretyship. This is the most important one because this is the crux of the matter. This tells us how to get out of being surety, sort of. The other ones warn us about it, but the first two warn us about it. The last three tell us how to get out of it and how to do so quickly. So let's look at it here, phrase by phrase. He says, "Do this now, my son." So if you've become surety for a friend's debt, like you've co-signed for his loan or something, it's necessary to act now. Do this now, my son. Now means at the present time or moment. So in other words, time is of the essence. You're only one layoff or one late payment or one emergency away from being on the hook for somebody else's debt. All he has to do is lose his job, and guess what? You're going to pay that debt. Or he has to, you know, he messes around and makes some late payments, and the guy says, "All right, that's it, I'm collecting it," and he can't pay, so it goes to you because you're the surety. Or his, you know, his house burns down or his car blows up or whatever, and there you are on the hook. So he says, "Do this now, my son, because today is the day of salvation." Look at 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, 2. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee," have I helped thee, in other words. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now, we could apply this to all kinds of things, but it certainly applies here. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to deliver yourself, which is what salvation is. It's deliverance. Now is the time to take care of it. Solomon was exhorting his son today while there was still time left. Hebrews 3 and verse 13. And this goes with any type of sin. Any sin that you are harboring right now and you're not dealing with, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Harden not your hearts while it is called today, because you never know how full your cup is before the Lord judges. Hebrews 3:13. "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." This is what Solomon is doing. He's exhorting his son while it is called today, because he doesn't want to see anything happen to his son. He wants to see his son delivered from this situation that could end up being very bad for him. Excuse me. So he says, "Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself." Deliver thyself. So by agreeing... Whoa. So by agreeing to be surety for a friend, one has snared himself in a trap. You remember verse 2, "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." So now you're in a trap, and you know when you're snared in the trap, you're caught. When you're taken, it's too late. Like the hunter's already come and got you. So you're snared at this point anyway. He says, "Deliver thyself." To deliver is to set free, liberate, release, rescue, save. It's to free, rid, divest, clear. And reflexively, which is how it's used here, deliver thyself. Reflexively, remember, is whenever oneself is the object of the verb. It is to free oneself, get clear of, or rid of. So he's telling him to free yourself. Liberate yourself. He needs to free himself from the trap and get clear of the obligation because no one else can or will do it for him. You see, whenever you're surety for a stranger, you are the only person that can free yourself from that suretyship. Nobody else can. Nobody else would even want to. They would have no reason to. Unless maybe you happen to owe some other people some money and they want to make sure they get paid. So therefore, you know, I guess there could be some way down the line reason why somebody else would want to make sure that your friend doesn't default. So, you know, it's not a cascade effect or something. But more than likely, nobody else is going to care. It's going to be on you. Of course, we all know that none of us can save ourselves eternally, but we can save ourselves temporally from the consequences of foolish decisions. Remember what Peter said in Acts 2 and verse 40? Save yourselves from this untoward generation. So we can save ourselves in that sense, temporally. And this is what Solomon is telling his son, to deliver yourself, or in other words, save yourself. He says, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Now this is interesting. So if you come into the hand of somebody, you are put under their power. And I'll give you some verses that will establish this. Look at Deuteronomy 1 and verse 27. I'm just going to read you a string of verses here to show you that to come into somebody's hand is to be brought under their power and control. Deuteronomy 1, 27. It says, and ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Into the hand of the Amorites. In other words, you're under the Amorites' power and under their dominion. Now look at Deuteronomy 19, 12. Deuteronomy 19, verse 12. It says, then the elders of his city shall send and fetch him thence and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. Well, if you get into the hand of the avenger of blood, you are now under his power and he's going to kill you. Okay? Judges 3 and verse 8. Judges 3 and verse 8. This is probably plenty. Let's see here. Judges 3, 8. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan Rishathaim 8 years. It would have been nice if it just said him 8 years. Use a pronoun there. It would have made it easier on me. But anyway, delivered him into his hand. And there's another one in Judges 6:1, but I'm not going to read that. I think you get the point. So when he says, when thou art come into the hand of thy friend, this cannot be referring to the friend defaulting on his debt and causing the man to be obligated to pay the debt to the creditor. Because if it was that, then the man would come into the hand of the stranger, who is the creditor, and that he had stricken hands with, right? Because if you think about it, if your friend defaults, you're not in your friend's hand anymore. Your friend's out of the picture. Now it's just you and the creditor, right? He doesn't owe the creditor anything. You owe the creditor. You have come into the hand of the creditor. You have come into the hand of the stranger. But Solomon says, when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. So what does that mean? How are you in the hand of your friend if it's not talking about your friend's default on the loan? Well, this must be referring to something else other than the friend defaulting and making the man to be obliged to pay off his debt to the stranger or creditor. And I'll explain how that's the case. So when a man agrees to be surety for a friend and assume responsibility for his debt if he defaults, he has come into the hand of his friend because his future is now in the power of his friend. So before the friend defaults, you are in the hand of the friend. You are under the friend's power right now because what he does is going to determine your future. You are at his mercy entirely. If the friend is irresponsible, then the guarantor is on the hook for his debt. So in such a situation, the man needs to deliver himself from the trap before it's too late. He's already in the snare, but he doesn't want to be taken. Your friend's got you in the snare. The stranger's going to take you if the friend defaults. He says, go humble thyself. So when thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself. Now, why would it be necessary to humble yourself if you've been surety for the friend? Well, because of the agreement that was made, he is in the hand of his friend, as I've already said. His friend has the upper hand because all the risk has now been transferred to the guarantor. You are on the hook for all the risk. The friend doesn't really have any risk anymore. Yeah, maybe his credit will take a hit or something, but really, you're on the hook for all the debt, right? So you're under his power. Since a legal agreement has been made, the man, is in a position of weakness. So once you have legally agreed to assume his debt if he defaults, now you are in the position of weakness. Right? You, even though you're the one that is supposed to have the money to take care of the friend, and really before the agreement, you're in a position of power. All right? Because you can say yes or no. It's not my debt. I don't have to sign for you, right? You're in a position of great power. The second that ink dries, when you sign your name on there and you give your hand and you're surety for a stranger, you went from a position of power to a position of weakness, because now you are at the mercy of your friend, when before you were totally free. Well, because of his weak position, it's necessary for the man to humble himself in order to influence his friend. You just can't go up to your friend and just start demanding, you better pay that debt because I don't want to end up being on the hook for it. You can't. You'd be stupid to do that. You might make him mad. He might just say, you know what, I'm going to stop paying. I'll just, you know, keep the thing that I just borrowed money on, and you can pay for it. So because you're in the weak position, you've got to humble yourself now. Because we're told in James 4 and verse 6 that God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. So if you want to extricate yourself from this position that you've got yourself in, the key to it is humility. James 4 and verse 6. It says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And you know, it's not only God who gives grace to the humble. Men give grace to the humble too, right? Men treat humble men graciously. Men do not treat proud men graciously if they don't have to, right? And I guess you don't ever have to treat somebody graciously, because the definition of grace is being nice to somebody when you don't have to. So if you want somebody to treat you mercifully, you best humble yourself. The man who is in debt, or in this case, in danger of assuming the debt, he needs to be humble when approaching a man that has power over him. So when you go to your friend and you try to encourage him to make sure he pays off this debt, you want to do so humbly. And I'll give you an example of this in Matthew 18, verses 23 through 27. Matthew 18, 23 through 27. If you are ever dumb enough to co-sign for a loan and you want to get out from under it, well, first of all, refer to this study. Second of all, go read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, and then go put this study into practice with some of the tactics that you learned there, and you might have a chance of saving yourself from it. Matthew 18, 23 through 27. Jesus said, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. This is called humbling yourself, when you fall down before somebody and beg for mercy. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. That's how you do it, by humbling yourself. You see, whenever you are in a position of weakness and you are poor, whether poor financially or poor when it comes to power, you must use entreaties, not demands, when you want to get something. Proverbs 18 and verse 23. You know, this is why when the police officer pulls you over, you entreat him not to give you a ticket. You don't demand that he doesn't give you a ticket. Because if you want a ticket, the best way to get one is to demand that he doesn't give you one, and you will be sure to get one. Or tell him that you weren't really speeding, or you didn't really do it, or whatever. No, you admit it, you tell him how stupid you are, I wasn't paying attention, I'm a total idiot, and I'm really sorry. And you humble yourself, and you hope you don't get the ticket, and then you drive away and go, whew, thank the Lord. That's what you do. And you can cry if you're a woman, yes. If you cry if you're a man, you're probably going to get a ticket anyway because you're a wimp, and I'd give you a ticket just for being a baby if I was a cop. But.
Just say you're a nurse.
Yeah, there you go. Or just start coughing incessantly and say you have COVID and you're on the way to the hospital.
I like the diarrhea excuse.
Or that one works too. Yeah.
He just looks at me and he knows I'm Asian, so.
Yeah.
There you go.
That is, yes.
That explains it. So he's like, okay, you're off the hook.
You're a woman and you're Asian.
There
and
that's, you go.
That's
a,
you know.
Huh?
No, she's never been pulled. You've never been pulled over, have you?
No.
Proverbs 18:23. It says, the poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. So when you're rich, you can afford to not use entreaties, to not be nice, to not petition somebody. You can just be a jerk because you're rich, right? But when you're poor, you got to be nice. Of course, you should always be nice, but that's just kind of how the world works. So he says, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. So here is how you deliver yourself. The man that has become surety for his friend can't take back, or he can't back out of being guarantor of his debt because he's stricken his hand with a creditor and given him his word that he would pay the debt if it's defaulted on. So you can't just back out. When he says, you know, go deliver thyself, he's not just saying, go tell him that this contract's null and void. Well, that's illegal. You can't do that. And it's immoral. It's unethical. When you've said you're going to do something, you have to do it. So delivering himself can't refer to that. So how does he get out of it? If he can't legally get out of it, if he can't get himself extricated from the contract, what does he do? What's crucial, therefore, that he makes sure his friend will pay off his debt. So there's two ways that you could, well, without actually getting out of it, I guess there's one way that you can guarantee that you're not going to end up having to pay that debt, and that is by making sure that your friend pays the debt, right? So if you can make sure your friend pays the debt, then you're not going to have to pay the debt. You're not ever going to be on the hook for it. And that's what Solomon's telling us to do. Question?
No.
Oh, to make sure thy friend. So therefore, he needs to make his friend sure. And sure, when it's speaking of in the context of being trustworthy, firm, or steadfast, it means that can be depended or relied on, not liable to fail or disappoint expectation. Trustworthy, reliable. And the phrase to make sure means to make something certain as an end or result, to preclude risk of failure. So in other words, he needs to gently encourage his friend to be a trustworthy man and to be steadfast in his promise to pay off the debt that he owes. If you do that, you make sure your friend, you make him dependable. You make him trustworthy. You make him reliable. And you do so humbly. You gently encourage him. You don't go up there and say, hey, you need to pay off this debt because you're going to be a slouch if you don't, and people are going to hate you. No, you got to be nice about it. You got to go there gently and encourage him and tell him. And maybe use, like we talked about the other day, where you get him to come to the conclusion himself and say, you know, if you were to default on this debt, you know what could happen, right? I mean, you're going to take, your credit score is going to take a hit, and then nobody's ever going to want to loan you money again, and, you know, your reputation's going to be tarnished, right? So you go about it that way, and you're humble about it and gentle about it, and you make him sure. Now, since he is in a position of weakness, this is the person that's surety, since he's in a position of weakness, he needs to approach his friend humbly and not simply demand that his friend pays the debt. In such a case, it would be wise to remind his friend that it would be in his friend's best interest to pay off his debt, because not doing so would hurt both his reputation and his credit score. So remind him of his duties and do it nicely. If he influences his friend for good and encourages him to faithfully pay off his debt, the result will be certain or sure, and will greatly reduce the risk of him failing to pay. And ultimately, it's good for you. If his friend is made sure, then he will not end up being on the hook for his debt, and he, his friend, and the creditor will all be happy. So this is how you deliver yourself, by humbly making sure thy friend, making sure that he pays the debt. That takes care of verse 3.